Welcome to the Philadelphia branch of Lighthouse Chapel International, under the leadership of the Presiding Bishop Dag Hayward Mill. This denomination has grown with several branches all over the world. We are delighted to come your way with the anointed Word of God, which is able to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned with your heart to receive God's Word through His servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
Tonight we pray for the spirit of understanding. We pray, Father, for even this wonderful book that we've been studying. We pray that we become better pastors, better shepherds, better poor men, Lord. Help us to even be imparted. We want the impartation of the Spirit. For it said, as for the words, they will profit us nothing, but that which would be a blessing is the Spirit and the life in the book. May we be imparted by the Spirit and the life in the book. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are talking about and be close. Come closer to the hearer. Closer to. Wow. 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 It's a very powerful message. Hey. All right. So last week we talked about the work of the ministry and how we should be like Timotheus, who cared for the people of God. Amen. So tonight we'll talk about the seven ministries of poor men. The seven ministries of poor men, or the seven dimensions of a pastor's ministry. All right? As a pastor, you have seven dimensions. As a shepherd, the word poor men means what? Shepherd. And then it's taken from Ephesians 4:11. Amen. Emma, your brain froze. All right. Anything that is difficult, I always give to Emma to answer. So Ephesians 4:11 tells us that the word shepherd is the same as the word poor man. And there are seven dimensions to this ministry. All right. So it's not just like you've become a shepherd or you are a pastor, but there are seven dimensions to it, you see. So every ministry has different dimensions, and you need to find out, just like every job, there are different requirements. If you are doing a particular job, it doesn't mean that every day you go, you put up. No, there are different things that is required of you. So is it as a pastor. There are seven dimensions to the ministry that we are involved, or a shepherd, that there are these seven powerful dimensions. Amen. And before then, you know, Bishop wanted to be clear and let us know that every office has ministries under it. All right? You know the offices, isn't it? We have app prepped or whatever. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And if you make the prophet PR, then if not, it will be what? Okay. Everything will help us learn the fivefold. So any of these fivefold ministries, they are offices, all right? Any of these offices have ministries under it. Do you understand? Offices and they are ministries under it. So is it in the prophetic ministry. And that's why, you know, Bishop is introducing this part to us. And the prophetic ministry is a very, or the prophetic office is a very important office, all right? To prophesy means that you are babbling forth. You are speaking the mind of God. So when they say someone is prophesying, it means that the person has what God is saying at that particular time, you see? And if they call you a prophet, it doesn't mean that you're a seer prophet. There are different prophetic offices. There are some that are called Nabi prophet. A Nabi prophet speaks the mind of God, prophesies, brings the counsel of God, but may not see visions and revelation. You get it? But the fact that all seers are prophets, but not all prophets are seers. Do you understand? So the fact that you are not operating in the seer anointing does not mean that you are not a prophet. You can be what we call a Nabi prophet. And in the Old Testament, there are about 300 uses of the Nabi prophet, the word Nabi prophet. You see that God talked about Abraham when, you know, Abimelech took his wife. He said, like, look, you are in trouble because this man is what? A prophet. And the word there is what? Nabi. He's a Nabi prophet. You see? Yes. And there are different, there's Ra prophet and there's Choza prophets. So all these kind of prophetic anointings are there. You get it? Yeah. And there are different, even when it comes to the prophecy, there are even different ways. Like when somebody says that the burden of the Lord came upon me. Yeah, when you are there, you feel that burden. It's a prophetic anointing. Yes. Because suddenly it's not everybody who is having it. But you feel the burden of the Lord to do something in particular. It's the voice of God. It's a prophetic thing that you're experiencing right there. You get it? So we've been really playing with the prophetic in our lives. And because it didn't come as "Thus says the Lord," or maybe some angel didn't appear and all that. Yeah. And because we didn't see it like that, we are thinking that probably we are not moving in the prophetic. All right? So you can be what? A Ra prophet, a chosen prophet, a Nabi prophet, and you can be, that's the one that everybody wants to be a seer. Yes, the Bible talks about God. It says God is what? He was a seer prophet. But when he came to Nathan, he said Nathan was what? A Nabi prophet. So there are different prophetic anointings and different ways of receiving the prophetic revelations as well. All right? So Bishop tells us over here that, you know, Jesus was also what? A prophet. And in Luke 7:16, it talks about he becoming what? A great prophet. All right? And it says that you realize that a prophet may operate in what? The ministry of healing and other revelation gifts like word of knowledge, word of wisdom. You see? So if you are receiving word of knowledge and word of wisdom, it doesn't, you know, you shouldn't limit it. You get what I'm saying? Yes. If you are receiving a word, because you haven't seen an angel or because you haven't been visited by Jesus, don't tell yourself that you are not operating in the prophetic. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. A word of knowledge is just a fraction, a logos of the mind of God. Yes, exactly. Yeah, but as for word of wisdom, usually it's even for things to come and all that. You know, knowledge is something that we understand the difference between knowledge and wisdom. So when you are receiving all these things, they are real prophetic things. And we are learning here that a prophet may operate in the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and also even in the healing, you know, ministry as well. All right? Yeah, like Kenneth Hagin. He had all that. He was also a seer prophet. And he was also a Nabi prophet, isn't it? Because he could just sit down and prophesy and speak words of wisdom about the future and things to happen. And then so many, many, many things. I mean, he operated in different dimensions of the prophetic. All right? So we see that Jesus was also what? A prophet. And the fact that he was a prophet doesn't mean that he didn't operate in the three main areas of ministry. And that is what Matthew 9:35 tells us about. Matthew 9:35. These were the three main areas of ministry, isn't it? Three main areas of ministry. And Reverend has taught us 35:3-5. Matthew 9:35 says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, doing what? Teaching and preaching and healing." So we have to what? Teach. We have to what? Preach. and we have to heal. Amen. Yeah, so if you take anything out, there's something wrong. Because Jesus didn't go about all the villagers preaching. Oh, only was he only preaching and teaching. But he was preaching, he was what? Teaching, preaching, and healing. T-P-H. T-P-H. Yes. And we have to have the complete thing in our ministries. Yeah. Teaching, preaching, healing. Yeah. So we've just limited it to just preaching. Hey! We are not becoming like Jesus. If you look at the poster out there, they've put a picture of Jesus and they dedicated it to one particular woman. I'm like, why were they giving the woman a party? They said, because of her dedication. I'm like, maybe she was so dedicated she had become like Jesus. So if we are becoming more like Jesus, we should be what? Teaching, preaching, and healing. Yes. Amen. And Acts 10:38 also talks about that ministry that Jesus was in. It says how God what? Anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So there's something called being anointed with what? Power. Yeah. So you can have the Holy Ghost anointed, but there's no power coming forth. Even though the Holy Ghost comes with power. But you see, there are two different things. He was anointed with what? The Holy Ghost and with power. Dunamis power. And what did he do? He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Hey, for God was with him. So we have to see that God is with us. Amen. Yes, to deliver people is to see that God is with you. Wow. By the power. And we stop at the Holy Ghost baptism, isn't it? Yes, I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now I'm speaking in tongues and all. But we need a baptism of all power. Do not miss power. Yes. Do not miss power. So that we'll be what? Be like Jesus. Was healing and delivering all that were oppressed of the devil. And the devil is oppressing a lot, isn't it? Yeah, oppressing a lot. It says, Jesus the prophet operated in gifts of revelation. Standing in the office of a prophet, he ministered to the woman of Samaria. Remember, the woman of Samaria immediately realized he had met someone standing in the office of a prophet. Look at her response to Jesus's ministration in John 4:18. Jesus gave him this what a word of knowledge, because there's no way that Jesus would have known. You get it? Yes. So it was what a word of knowledge, and it's a very powerful way of witnessing. Yes. Sometimes we think that witnessing, just sharing about the four spiritual laws and telling people to just be born again and only that. But I'm telling you, you realize that Jesus moved in prophetic evangelism. And when he moved in the prophetic evangelism, when the woman met him, said, hey, this one, I perceive that you're a prophet. End of story. I'm going to tell the whole town about this man. So we need to really flow in the prophetic. Yeah, don't shelf it and put it at the side and say, you know what, it's a seer prophet alone because we haven't seen Jesus. Hey! The last days, Jesus, the Bible says that God would what? Anoint us with the prophetic anointing. Amen. Yeah. So when Jesus gave her that word of knowledge, she said, say, I perceive that thou art the prophet. We should be giving people word of knowledge and they look at, say, hey, this thing is too powerful. In fact, don't even talk any further. They'll just say, what God is it that you are serving? You see? I see that they are giving their lives to Christ. Amen. So prophetic evangelism is powerful. All right. Says Jesus, Jesus also operated in the ministry of predictive prophesying. Remember, in Matthew 24, it says he predicted the destruction of Solomon's temple. So that's a word of wisdom, because it hasn't happened yet. Yes. So those are predictive prophecies. And all that says, there shall not be left here one stone upon another. Matthew 24:2. Says Jesus gave extensive predictions concerning the end of the world. We would do well to take note of these prophecies, because Jesus was a great prophet. And Reverend has been telling us that all that we can do is to pray for what? Exemptions. Oh, yeah. You can't pray, say, look, there will be no earthquake. It's not going to happen. You can do whatever prophetic intercessions and this, that, things will happen. Because Jesus was telling us that they will happen. You get it? So now, if the things will happen, then how should we pray? You have to pray for what? Exemptions. Yes. You have to pray that you'll be exempted. And that the Psalm 91 will be your real portion. You'll be under what? The shadow of the Almighty. Yes. And will be what? Exempted. Because these things will happen. Jesus spoke about it. Those are prophetic predictions. And that's the only thing that we think is the prophetic, isn't it? Yeah, but it's more than that. You can be a Nabi prophet. How many of you are desired to be Nabi prophets? You be speaking the mind of God. Yeah. See, the burden of the Lord will come upon you. See, I feel that God is telling me to do this particular thing. Yeah, you'll be receiving it. And sometimes it comes like little raindrops, you know. All those are prophetic things. So you'll be there, some thoughts would occur to you, some idea, and then you see that it keeps coming, it keeps coming, it keeps coming. All those things are prophetic things. Yeah. So don't look at it and just... I just feel that some people have been not believing these things in their lives. You better start believing. Amen. This is Bishop talking. Says, I've used the office of a prophet to illustrate how different ministries flow from one office in the church. Just as there is one Holy Spirit with different operations, manifestations, and administrations, there can be one office with different ministries emanating from it. And then he says, let us now study the different ministries that flow from the office of a pastor. Amen. So now we are coming to talk about the office of a pastor. Says the office of a pastor, poor man, or the office of a shepherd has ministries under it. Says it is important that shepherds flow in all aspects. You see, that's a problem. So all the seven ministries, we need to flow in it. See, because sometimes you may be very strong in one aspect and not very good in one aspect. And see that it would affect your shepherdorial anointing. You get it? Yes. Your shepherdorial anointing will be greatly affected because one of the areas, or maybe two or three of them, you are doing well, or four or five, but two is being relegated. And then because of that, see that the permanent anointing is not really, you know, as powerful as it's supposed to be, you know. Because we learned that ministry has different anointings too, isn't it? From John 3:34, we said that we see that Jesus was operating an anointing that was very high. So we can also operate in very high shepherdorial anointing, very high pastoral anointing. Anything that we are doing, we can take it to World Cup. Yeah. And Bishop warns us over here that a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. So we may naturally flow in certain areas, but weaker in others. It's important to develop your weak areas. Because you may think, okay, you know what? I'm not just too good with this part. And you will see the different parts. But you have to. Or else you can't be a great shepherd. See, every profession has a symbol. The symbol of the medical profession, we know, isn't it? Moses' staff with a snake around it. And that of a king is a scepter. The symbol of a shepherd is a staff, or what we call a rod, isn't it? For example, a soldier's symbol is a rifle. It symbolizes the ability to kill and destroy. So by studying the symbol of the shepherd, you can more easily or more clearly, you'll be able to what differentiate the ministry of a pastor. All right? So what's the first ministry of a pastor? And that is in Revelation 19, verse 15. The first ministry of a pastor. First ministry of a pastor. He says, out of his mouth, that was Jesus Christ, goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. I can't wait for this to happen. This is, I'm just tired of people, this Jerusalem, I mean, it's like, won't Jesus come and just smite the nations? And look at him. It says, he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of God. This scripture is too much. Wow. So over here we see he will what? Rule them with a rod. Rule them with a rod. Jesus is coming to rule. That's why he's called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's also expecting that when he comes, that's why he says that, look, when you become a good and faithful servant, he will give you the ability to rule over cities and things like that. So some of us will become rulers of 10 cities. Some people will have one city. Maybe the city of Philadelphia. I mean, I don't know what it will be called. You know, so many different, you know, titles and things that governance and things I will be doing. You see. So as a shepherd, what we are doing on earth is practicing to become rulers. You see. And the first ministry of the poor man is actually the ruling ministry. Wow. Our ability to rule as shepherds. Because if you are the shepherd, and then your sheep are leading, and you are following, then we don't know what it is. It's what? The cat before the horse. Yeah, I don't know what, you know, I don't even know what to categorize the whole thing as. See, ability to rule is ability to be able to what? Take charge of something. You get it? So if you are in charge of a ministry or in charge of whatever and you are a shepherd, then you should really be able to take charge of whatever is happening there. Yeah, you should be able to. That's why when God was coming, he came to Adam and said, what is it that you have done? So we should be able to come to you, Emma, we should be able to come to you and say, look, the music in the church, we are suffering. Yeah, because you are the leader and you are not supposed to be what? Ruling in the music area, in the church. You get it? Yeah. And our ability to be able to rule is important. Mm-hmm. The sheep shouldn't be, we shouldn't be following the sheep. The sheep rather should be what? Following us. Yeah, the sheep should be following us. Since the first ministry of a pastor is the what? Ruling ministry. So the tradition perception of a pastor is someone who is soft, kind-hearted, compassionate, poorly paid, available at all times, and never complaining, dormant. It's not true. Can you imagine? Yeah, because if we are like that, everything will spoil. Yeah, yeah, in the church, the people are there, oh, just leave them. Anytime they want to come, let them come. If they don't want to come, let them be there. Hey! Your whole ministry is going to spoil. Yeah. I said today, I saw something, I couldn't believe it. Yes. It was lunchtime and this young lady came, you know, she's a teacher in the school. But the There was an older woman, probably maybe about 60-something, and she's like an aide in the school. And when she came to the lunchroom, we're having a meeting now. Like, hey, somebody's about that. Look at how you, this little girl, you are talking to her. I said, oh, can't you even wait? It's like my lifetime. I said, can't you wait like 12? No, we can't. We have to have it now. I said, wow. Ruling ministry. And the woman's talking, right? She couldn't eat her lunch. She had to go. Oh, yes. Yeah. And it's not about age, oh. Because this girl shouldn't be, she should be in her 20s, and this woman is in her 60s. Hey! Ability to rule. It's important. Or everything will spoil. Everything. We'll be like African presidents. Yeah? And then you see the people impoverished. Yesterday, what word did I use? Reverend said me, I just want to use some big words. I said they are like imbeciles. I heard it from Bishop. They were showing Angola and the people so hungry and dying and all these kind of things. Hey, so are there leaders in this country for the citizens to be suffering like that? You see? So we have to learn to what? Rule. It says, I believe that a pastor must be kind-hearted, all right, patient, but on the cardinal, one of his cardinal role is to lead and to rule. A pastor is the head of the local church. A head must make decisions. Yes. So you have to be deciding. Mm-hmm. Pastor Moses, you have to look. You know what? We are going this way. And you see how our bishop is a very strong leader. Yeah. Our bishop is a very strong leader. But isn't he nice? On the other hand, isn't he nice? Isn't it sweet to the first lovers and everything? Yes, it's like that. But you have to be also very strong. You have to be very strong. Heaven says you shouldn't say strong. We have to say what? Strong. Yeah. If you phlegmatize the whole ministry, everything will be what? Totally spoiled. Yeah. You can't just leave the people like that. Mm-hmm. Brother Kwame, at least you are ruling in your corner. Can see he's always sending his people, we are doing this, we are wearing this. I'm like, yeah, that's a leader. Your voice has to be always be heard. We are doing this, we are going here, we are coming here, we are this, da-da-da-da-da, all the time. Yeah, and people like it. Do you know that? You may think people like soft leaders. They like structure. Yeah? They rather like it when things are in order. Don't you like it when you go to a place and everything looks beautiful and it's in order and, you know, yeah, there's no chaos and it's like things are flowing and just you know what is next and what is the other. I like those things. But when you go to a place that chaos, there, everybody's shouting, screaming, it's like, what is this that we've come to? I see. Yeah, and it takes ruling to do it. Yeah? I'm even surprised. I mean, Bishop, you just that little blue spot. He doesn't want it to be there to you. So he's warned the people, don't come and step on this blue spot. Hey! Ruling! Because he knows that if people come and step on the blue spot with their shoes, the whole carpet will look nasty. He's ruling the first lovers. No, don't come to this my blue spot. Wow. Amen. And Psalm 23, verse 1 and 2 tells us the same thing, isn't it? Psalm 23, verse 1 and 2 says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me. Yes. So, shepherd, you can what? Make the sheep. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He's making them do it. He leadeth me. Yeah, he's leading the people. Sister Mariama, you should make them do things. Yeah, don't be afraid at all. Sometimes their faces, their attitudes and all those things, you may feel like cowering and giving up and trying to just be nice, but sometimes you should not. No, 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 no. You should tell them, no, 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 no. and you make them lie down in green pasture. It's good for them, isn't it? When you are lying down in green pastures, what you do? You just be eating the green grass and all that. And then you should lead them. Lead them. Lead them. So shepherds, let's what? Lead. Amen. Let's lead. It says a true shepherd leads the sheep to a place where they need to go. You cannot be a good leader if you are weak. Every church needs a strong voice that is confident and bold in the Lord. The sheep are looking for someone with direction who knows where he is going. A pastor must lead the people spiritually and in other areas, or a pastor, a shepherd, right? Over here, the word pastor means poamen, which means shepherd. Must lead the people spiritually and in other areas such as in the family and social dimensions. When the church does not have strong, capable shepherds or leaders, something is wrong. You may be surprised to discover what the prophet Isaiah describes as a curse. Hey, this one, Bishop has preached about it. But it's okay, let's read it too. Isaiah 3, 6 and 7. I think he's preached this message. I don't know how many times have we heard it. He's preached it and preached it and preached it and preached it and preached it. Isaiah 3, 6 and 7. He says, when a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. They are looking for a ruler. In that day shall he swear, saying, I will not be an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. So the greatest curse is when there's no ruler. Yes. Someone to give direction. Someone to say, let's do it like this. Someone to say, let's go here. Someone to say, this is the right thing. And even sometimes, look, the thing, as we are going, we are all not sure. We are not sure, but we are trying it. You get it? And your ability to rule would help the whole situation. Don't be so nice that everybody, oh, you know, he's such a nice. Be careful when everybody say, you are very, 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 very nice. There's something also wrong when everybody is saying that you are very, 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 very nice. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Because it's nice to be a people pleaser, want people to like you. But that means you're also failing somewhere. Someone wrote an article about parenting, and I thought that was amazing. He was talking about the fact that, you know, these days parents treat their children like they are equals and they want their children to like them. And the woman said, look, I don't need my children to like me. Oh, yes. He's talking about his young kids. I do not need them to like, rather when they don't like me and I'm telling them the truth and they are doing the right, I'm rather helping them. Yes, it's like, oh, I want my daughter to be happy, I want my son to be happy, so if anything that they want to do, they should just do it. Hey! You bring up a monster. Yeah. And I don't know why now, and then the woman further wrote that they don't even have to be my friends. I said this article is just too powerful. So they don't even have to be my friends because I'm their mother and they are my children. Yeah, I mean, when they are older and they are your friends, it's nice. But look, when they are growing, you should see that you are the mother, I'm the father, you are the child. And you have to have a voice. Amen. So it's a curse to have weak and spineless leadership. Learn to speak to your sheep with authority. When I say authority, I don't mean you should dominate their lives. Lead them with a high level of confidence and what? Control. Amen. So Emma, Friday is going to, Friday we even have it, but I can see some of the Fridays are cold. But still, you are making them come and sing, isn't it? Yes. Look, you have to be here.
we need to rehearse. Yeah. See? Sheep are meant to be led.
You have authority over the sheep God has placed in your care. You will answer for their souls one day. See, a leader who refuses to take important decisions is doomed to failure. A good leader takes decisions when all necessary information has come to him. These decisions may be hard and painful. If you're a shepherd, do not take them, your church is doomed to wither. Yeah? If you don't take some important decisions at a particular time, Bryce and like Reverend has decided to be hard on us. Yeah, if he doesn't, the whole church is spoiling. And even with this accountability, still no, they are not coming for Wednesday meeting. I think Sunday they should even be faced. Reverend, what did you say? Say, wait till they are fired. It's going to fire all the shepherds. There will be no shepherd. And then you start with, you know, Emma. All these dead people here. Yeah. That's it. It says, just look around and see how many churches are dead and lifeless. They are a far cry from their founders or what their founders had envisaged. This is often because as wrong things began to creep in, the leaders were afraid to rock the boat and take important decisions. Things will get out of hand. See, sometimes when I look at some hopeless, incompetent government corporations and agencies, I just marvel. And it's amazing. Yeah. In fact, anywhere you go and there's that I'm in charge kind of leader, you always see order. All the time. Yes, all the time. You see, everybody's doing this. There's a curriculum. This is going on. Something is being followed. People are doing the right thing. Everything is flowing. There's always order. And everything is nice. But when you have when you go to some places, hey, I don't want to talk about it though. I don't even want to talk about it. Especially people with our skin color. I'm not even joking, no. Yes. But yes, haven't you seen it in your school? You see a lot of chaos and you're like, hey, so are there leaders here? Yeah. But can you imagine, I'm not even this, but when you go to school with whiter people there, it's very different. Quiet. You're like, is it the same? What's happening to us, oh? I think it's just bad leadership. The curse of harm. Charlie, this thing, we should let it not happen to us. So anytime you see harming things coming, just do this. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Yeah. He says they are huge. They make huge losses and generate a lot of waste in the system. I have been to government offices where I see everyone reading newspapers. Sometimes you see 20 secretaries in one office with one typewriter. They have nothing to do, yet they are paid with taxpayers' money every month. What a pity. They sleep, eat, and chat all day. Their managers are afraid to take the decision that 19 out of the 20 typists must be laid off. The country becomes poorer and poorer, and people wonder why. The reason is simple. The leaders have refused to assess the situation and take a strong but hard decision. They are refusing to rule. They fear of losing political power and all that. Since I'm not afraid of taking decisions, as a bishop, not at all, because I realize that the church will deteriorate if I do not. I teach pastors to remove stagnating leaders. Hey. Pastor Kobe, are you hearing? You remove them. Yes. You make way. You are not doing their work. Yeah, Remy has dissolved the whole leadership in this thing. Chapel has dissolved everything. Because you are not doing the work you want to be called shepherd, whatever, shepherd in Poho. Yes. Remove them and replace them with willing and capable workers. Willing and what? Capable. Yeah. Reverend says, look, even if there are a few, I like it. I make the necessary changes in my staff and with my shepherds when I realize change must be made. Don't be afraid of changes. Sometimes it's only a big change that will lead to big breakthroughs. A minor transformation will take place when you take minor decisions, but a major transformation will occur when you are bold enough to take major decisions. Be a strong leader and lead your sheep to green pastures. Wow. It says lady pastors or the lady shepherds can learn to be strong, firm leaders without being ill-natured and quarrelsome. Lady shepherds should be gentle and effective without being what? Cantankerous. Isn't that powerful? Yeah. The fact that now you are a lady, you go, I can jump, but why? And this person, every day, you'd be quarreling with this person. That's not leadership. That's not leadership. That's being what? Cantankerous and quarrelsome. Yeah. I can be a very strong leader without being cantankerous. Like, no. We are doing like this, no. We are going. Yeah. And then you see that even when the decision is hard, people still love you, isn't it? Yeah, they still love you. Because they know that you are taking that decision for their sakes. You see, yes. So the number one ministry is what? It is the proton. Everything, every other thing in the pastoral ministry is what? Secondary. Pastor Maurice, you are a very nice pastor. But that is the proton, the ruling ministry. Got to rule. Yes, got to take your rod and say, we are doing this. Yeah? Got to take your rod and say, I mean, when the church is younger, I can't be sucking people too much. They'll finish. They'll be smaller than you. Hey! You remember that story? Somebody said he has suspended all his shepherds. So you have to also have wisdom. You get it? So it's not that you are ruling without wisdom. Hey, that's also you are being a tyrant. Yeah. But you can rule with what? Wisdom. Amen. Did we understand it? Are we going to rule? Yes. All right, let's take our offerings.